This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
We don't speak often of Joseph, the husband of Mary, yet he is the shining example of all fathers. In him, we see the responsible and caring father who protected the child Jesus from all harm and also provided for the Holy Family.
Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
A reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you.
Blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so that they may not become discouraged. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
This Sunday, we celebrate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. It shall always be the model for every Christian family, as that family founded on love and on the Word of God. This celebration comes to remind us of the importance of the traditional concept of human family as ordained by God. This feast is important for every Christian family. It is an opportunity for every family to take out time during this Christmas season to share love and reflect on the wonderful deeds of God in their lives. The celebration also shows the importance of having God at the very foundation of the family. The joy and happiness of every Christian family cannot be dissociated from God. Therefore, Christian parents, as shown by Mary and Joseph in the Gospel and Elkanah and Hannah in the first reading, should be very conscious of bringing their family always into the presence of God. The family, as Pope St. John Paul II rightly observed, is the first church. It is in the family that the children get to encounter God for the very first time. It is worthy of admiration when little children are taught by their parents and grandparents to love God and to strive to do God's will. Let us therefore pray for all Christian families that the love and peace of God will reign in our homes. And may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Daijon contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
Thank you. I'm Johnny Baptist Tumusime with a bulletin of church news. Pope Francis has sent a message to youth who gathered on Saturday in Estonia's capital Tallinn for the 47th European meeting organized by the Taize community. The five-day meeting is attended by representatives of youth from various Christian denominations, including the Catholic Church. The Taize is an ecumenical Christian monastic community based in France. It is composed of more than 100 brothers from Catholic and Protestant traditions who originate from about 30 countries around the world. We have a report.
Pope Francis joined in the annual celebration with a message signed by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin. In the Pope's message, he recalled that during his 2018 apostolic journey to the three Baltic nations of Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia, he met with young people in a Lutheran church in Tallinn for an ecumenical meeting where he reminded them how beautiful it is to be together, we who believe in Jesus Christ. Gathering in a spirit of sharing and brotherhood, the Holy Father went on to say in his message, is even more important in the current context as our world is undergoing difficult trials. Many countries are marked by violence and war. Numerous people, he said, are victims of inhumane treatment, and still others, he lamented, are disoriented by inequalities in our societies and the ecological dangers that we face. The Holy Father commended the young people of Taizé for their intention during these days to hope against hope. This call, in harmony with the theme of the Jubilee year that characterizes 2025, the Pope underscored, is directed at you, each and every one of you. Therefore, the Pope stressed to them, walk in hope. Hope, he continued, overcomes every fatigue, every crisis, and every anxiety, giving us a strong motivation to move forward, because it is a gift, he said, we receive from God himself. For God, the Pope noted, gives meaning to our time, illuminates our paths, and shows us the direction and goal of life. Finally, the Holy Father told the young people that he counts on them and renews the trust that the Church places in them, because the universal Church, he said, needs them to proclaim today the good news of God's love. Pope Francis included by imparting his apostolic blessing upon all members of the Taizé community and their families. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Pope Francis delivered a reflection on Saturday to the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, on a program known as Thought for the Day. The reflection had the title Hope and Kindness. In the message, the Holy Father highlighted the importance of hope and kindness, which he said touch the very heart of the gospel and show us the path to follow in our behavior. A world full of hope and kindness, he said, is a more beautiful world, while a society that looks to the future with confidence and treats people with respect and compassion is more humane. The Pope noted that the Jubilee year, which began on Christmas Eve, December 24th, calls us to be pilgrims of hope, and he encouraged everyone to choose love in a world beset with wars, social injustices, and various forms of violence. He explained that love can be expressed in kindness that opens hearts to acceptance and helps us to become humbler. Humility, he added, lends itself to dialogue, helps us to overcome misunderstandings, and generates gratitude. Pope Francis cited the great British writer Gilbert Keith Chesterton, who in his writings invited people to take the elements of life with gratitude and not for granted. The Holy Father concluded his message with a wish for hope and a prayer that the new year might bring us peace, fellowship, and gratitude. Pope Francis issued a message on X, the former Twitter, on Saturday, inviting Catholics to contemplate the mystery of God made man in these days and ask for the grace to give up something to offer to those in need so that everyone may experience the joy of Christmas. The bishops of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference have reminded the faithful that Christmas is a joyful season and celebrates God becoming human, and that reopens the possibility of our union between God and humanity. they made the reminder in their Christmas message. The bishops pray that the faithful experience the transformative power of the birth of Jesus Christ and its implications for humanity's unity and dignity. Citing St. Paul the Apostle, they call upon people to live the virtues promoted by the Gospels and discard the old order characterized by sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, jealousy, rivalries, divisions, envy, and drunkenness. The bishops point out some challenges society is facing, including gender-based violence, family murders, and economic extortions. Citing Pope Francis, the bishops call for solidarity, inclusion, and sympathy in society. The member countries of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference are Botswana, Eswatini, and South Africa. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Makeni in Sierra Leone, the Right Reverend John Hassan Koroma, has called upon the faithful to reject the bill proposed by government on safe motherhood and reproductive health care. He made the call in his Christmas message issued on December 24th. He said the bill contains clauses that could be used to legitimize abortion and other health practices that go against the teaching of the Catholic Church. The supporters of the bill include local and international pro-abortion organizations. The Interreligious Council of Sierra Leone has also opposed the bill. In a statement released last week, it said the bill gravely contradicts religious teachings in the country. Caritas Internationalis has launched its World Jubilee Date campaign, whose title is Turn Date into Hope. The aim of the initiative is to address the date crisis that threatens billions of people around the world. The campaign comes at a time when over 100 countries are in a debt crisis, with 65% of their debt controlled by private lenders, which complicates debt resolution. According to information provided by economists, 60% of poor countries are at debt distress, which endangers development, and 3.3 billion people live in countries where debt repayments have overtaken spending on essential basic services such as health and education. This, according to experts, cements poverty and inequality. The United Nations Security Council has authorized the deployment of a new African Union mission in Somalia aimed at defeating Islamic militants allied to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. The new force is known as the African Union Support and Stabilization Mission in Somalia and is scheduled to deploy in January next year, taking over from the African Union Transition Mission in Somalia, whose mandate expires this coming Tuesday, December 31st. The resolution was passed with 14 votes in favor, with the United States of America abstaining due to concerns over the mission's funding. Somalia is experiencing deep poverty, a long-standing civil war, and recurrent natural disasters, which the international peacekeeping efforts seek to resolve. Senegal has announced that it will close all foreign military bases. The announcement was made on Friday by Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko during a general policy statement to the National Assembly. France is the only country that has a military base in Senegal. Senegalese President Bassirou Diomaye Faye expressed his intention last month to close the French military bases in Senegal, pointing out that Senegal is an independent and sovereign state and that sovereignty does not accommodate the presence of foreign military bases. The military governments in Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso and Chad have already forced France, their former colonial master, to close all its military bases in the four countries. The military bases were established by the agreements France signed with its West African colonies before it granted them independence. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. As you may have heard in our last edition, the issue of illegal mining was widely discussed by the Catholic bishops of Ghana during their annual plenary assembly held in Obuasi Diocese last month. In the final communique, they called for ecological citizenship, which they described as a way of life characterized by the conscious decision to relate responsibly to the environment through the concrete daily choices which express care for the earth. Firstly, they call on the government of Ghana to take immediate and decisive action by employing all available means to halt illegal and irresponsible mining activities. They also appeal to all politicians to demonstrate commitment to protecting the environment by desisting from either benefiting from illegal and irresponsible mining or engaging in it themselves. The bishops also appeal to regulatory bodies, religious and traditional leaders, as well as the lay faithful and members of the clergy to join in the fight against environmental degradation. Here is the chairman of the Bishops' Conference, Bishop Matthew Kwasi Jamfi of Sunyani Diocese, reading that part of the communique.
We also call on all regulatory bodies to be more vigilant and honest about their duties and operations. This call for integrity demands their ability to resist all attempts by corrupt members of society to compromise their ethical responsibility towards the nation. In addition, we call on all chiefs and queens to demonstrate their leadership by outlawing illegal and irresponsible mining within their territorial jurisdictions. Chiefs and queens who fail to act to protect their traditional territories from illegal and irresponsible mining actually shirk their responsibility and break their sacred oath to the people. We call on local communities to rise up to their God-given right and responsibility to protect their forests, lands, river bodies, and indeed their very lives. You know, destroying our environment is not an acceptable answer to unemployment. All communities to the reality, the danger, the threat that the destruction of their environment is inflicting on us. We even call on all Catholic clergy, that is deacons, priests, and bishops, and indeed all the lay faithful, to live out their baptismal promises and identity by standing up both publicly against illegal and irresponsible mining wherever and whenever it rears its diabolical head. Let all the clergy endeavor to question the sources of wealth of those who may be suspected of dubious dealings. If it is obvious that the source of the wealth of a donor is illegal and irresponsible mining, their donation must be rejected. We vehemently admonish any Catholic involved in illegal and irresponsible mining activities to stop with immediate effect. In fact, any Catholic who is found out to persist in these crimes will be liable for appropriate ecclesiastical sanctions pursuant to the norms of canon law. We call on all religious leaders, especially Christians and Muslims, to show fidelity to the dictates of the Bible and the Quran, respectively, which enjoin on them to care for God's creation. Let us take up our divinely given leadership of our people with seriousness, sincerity, and courage. Let us live above reproach in these matters of serious concern. We also call on all citizens to embrace conscientization on this environmental tragedy. Let our minds and consciousness reawaken to the truth, hard truth, that Ghana is the only earthly home we have as a people. We must therefore manage our environment with care and together fight against the perpetrators of illegal and irresponsible mining.
That was the chairman of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Ghana, Bishop Matthew Kwasi Jamfi of Sonyani Diocese. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tomosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our report with the Pope on Sunday and our feature, The Family. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.